Let's get to our guest, Adam Coons, Chief Portfolio Manager at Winthrop Capital Management. Adam, mean reversion is a pretty powerful force in markets. We've had a disastrous 2 years in the China and Hong Kong markets. 21 and 22 have been tough to stomach. And so a lot of investors are thinking about going long that end of the market and maybe even going short, say, the S&P 500. But the policymaking in China is not so consistent. How are you looking at this in terms of your plan for 2023?
First off, thanks for having me. You know, I think that's always been the challenge when investing into China. There's always a lot of question marks, and so in some ways, you have to invest without all the information that you may have here in the U.S. But when we look at really the dynamics that are pushing the economy and the markets there, you've got to look at, to your point, mean reversion. You can't have mean reversion without a catalyst. And for us, what we've been paying close attention to are valuations. So valuations became very, very cheap. So that was the first marker for us to begin to really pay attention, but was not the reason to get in. But then we started to see a shift in the narrative around China. And while you weren't hearing it at first, we started to really build a case that, that the government was going to not only move away from COVID zero policies, but step in to actually support these internet companies that they had kind of beaten down over the last 2 years.
So, in short, does that mean tech is a buy in China right now?
We believe it is. You mentioned, going long China and shorting the U.S. We wouldn't go that far. We still think the U.S. is a good place to be. But when you look elsewhere in the world, there's really no other place we would put money. Because when you look at these tech companies, they're cash flowing machines with great business models that never changed. It was just about the narrative of what the Chinese government was going to do, how they were going to crack down. And surely they stepped in to show their power. But we've got to remember that the Chinese government let these companies grow to their size because they want to be taken seriously throughout the world, throughout the investing world. And so it is not a benefit to them to let this thing that they helped grow die. Yeah, so we knew eventually that they were going to pivot.
These are the national champions. I mean, Tencent,
right, exactly.
And Alibaba were famous the world over, and you can't name all that many Chinese companies that were. So I'd still say that's a pretty aggressive bet that you've got. But then you've got defensive stocks that you like as well on your conviction calls and long duration bonds. Let's start with the defensives. Would those be value companies, cyclicals? What do you see as the most comfortable cyclical defensive areas?
Yeah, so when we're looking at defensive stocks, it's largely driven by the uncertainty that we have here in the U.S. and really globally with what central banks are going to do, how far they're going to push to, get rid of this high inflation that we've been experiencing over the last year. And so because of that, we don't want to just jump in. We want to stay invested, but we don't want to just jump into growth markets or really, kind of have this pedal to the metal mentality. So that's the driver of, focusing on the defensive factor. And what we mean by that is similar to what I just said about Chinese stocks, but it's really driven by business model and cash flow. You're getting away from narrative-based stocks, these story stocks like a Zoom, where there was a story behind this, working from home and just trust us, we're going to grow into this valuation. We're staying away from that, and we're investing in companies like Microsoft, Alphabet, the tried and true cash flowing machines that have a business model that can adapt, is robust through different cycles. And those type of companies showed that they could do that through the pandemic, right? So we're continuing that theme through 2023.
And when you think about the sorts of earnings those solid companies might deliver in 2023, what do you anticipate? And what do you particularly anticipate around dividends?
So that's the other reason for defensive stocks is that we do believe we're going to experience a earnings recession here in the first 2 quarters of 23. And that's driven by the fact that costs are still elevated, whether that's higher wages or higher input cost. But now we're dealing with the fact that revenue numbers are going to be more difficult to hit. And so if we move into an earnings recession, it's A, going to be difficult to pay higher dividends. We think that that's not going to happen probably in the next year. And so you really need to be focused on those that have a safe dividend and real earnings power to kind of weather through this. But it's not going to last forever, but we're focused on companies that where the dividend and the earnings can weather through maybe what could be a bit of a storm.
You've gone through all of this and haven't really mentioned much about Fed policy. How much of a factor is the Fed going to be in the first 6 months next year?
Well, I've intentionally not mentioned it because I feel like that's all anyone talks about, but it is the main ingredient in this soup, right? It's whatever the Fed does, and really whatever investors believe that the Fed's going to do is has been the driver of markets. But ultimately, the Fed's stance on liquidity throughout the market is going to drive this economy. And so if they continue to pull the punch bowl away, you're going to see a lack of liquidity, you're going to see refinance risk, and you're going to see demand destruction. And if you have demand destruction as a way to combat inflation, which is absolutely what they're trying to do, you have to see earnings decline, you have to see spending go down, and so that will make its way through the economy. It's just a matter of how far the Fed's willing to push.
Yeah, so bitter medicine being administered at the moment. But if we take a look at the bright side, the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, the PCE deflator, slowed again in November. Do you have a sense that the tide is turning in terms of the inflation fight? We're closer to the end than the beginning, maybe.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we will see accelerated deceleration in inflation. And actually, what we believe is that the Fed is going to overshoot this. You at the beginning of this, you played a lot of clips of the Fed's intention on pushing towards that 2% policy. And in order to get to 2% quickly, you're not just going to suddenly get to 2% and stop. It's going to be this exact same scenario that we just witnessed to the upside, and you could see disinflation that could be problematic as well. So that's one of our big fears about Fed policy right now. And we do believe that naturally inflation was going to roll over, and by the Fed's action, you're going to see it happen faster.
Yeah. Adam, thanks very much for joining us. Adam Kunz, Chief Portfolio Manager at Winthrop Capital Management.